Bo. Woo! You still excited? I am. That was amazing worship again. And I just, that last song, standing back there just worshiping God. I hope you were doing the same out here. Hello to everybody watching online. We love you and we're so grateful. I had somebody say, what's your shirt say? It says in Latin. I have no idea. So anyways, don't ask. You know, we kicked off the 50 days of good news last week, and it is just rolling. I wish I could just stand up here tonight and tell you the stories that we've received already of people texting, the share it, and the chose it. We had already the first week about 27 guests who came and got a Bible and text the guests. Guys, that's amazing stuff. It really is, because you're inviting people that need Jesus. They're coming. And you're inviting people that maybe know Jesus and are looking for a fellowship. Great job. As you can see, we still have room in all four services, or at least two and a half, and so keep inviting. Last week, I mentioned in the beginning of the 50 Days of Good News that we will continue to help out local businesses. You know, we had called through most all the restaurants in Arvada, but we did find another restaurant. And I didn't even know this. Right here at 72nd and Sheridan is a little Denny's Cafe. It's individually owned. And a couple of their employees go to church here, and they heard me say last week all the restaurants are good. They're like, no, we're not. Let's help Denny's this week. They got a great, you know, I get their little ham and cheese, whatever. Just go over there and help them out. If you don't know what we're doing, we're helping a restaurant or a business every week for the entire year of 2021, and this ministry has done a phenomenal job at that. You know, we're going to jump in. Last week was the beginning, but this week is the very first letter in the gospel acrostic. You know, I want to make sure you understand, we have been a part of a ministry. Some of you know Pastor Greg Steer and the team at Dare to Share. They train teenagers. They've trained 1.5 million teenagers literally in the United States and around the world to share their faith. And myself and Shelley and Greg grew up in a ministry where we learned these principles for sharing our faith. Really, it's a theological journey in soteriology, which is salvation. But they came up with the life in six words. It's an easy way to remember how to share your faith, because missing any of these would leave the gospel incomplete. So I wanted to show those to you because I'm challenging you to share your faith every week. This is where we're going with it, but you can't do that if you don't know and don't have them all in front of you. So each week I'll highlight one, but you see it right there in your outline. God created us to be with Him. Our sins separate us from God. Sins cannot be erased by good deeds. Paying the price of sin, Christ died and rose again. Everyone who trusts in Christ has everlasting life, and life that's everlasting means it starts now and lasts forever. Here's why this is important. If you can just memorize God, our sins, pain, everyone, life, you can remember the gospel in six words. We teach that course here from Dare to Share. It's a great course. But I just want you to know this is the best map or roadmap for sharing your faith I've ever seen. That being said, when you start talking with somebody about the gospel, the very first part of the conversation should start with what I'm going to share tonight, that God created us for His purpose and pleasure. Some people start with hell. You're going to hell. You need Jesus. Not a good starter, okay? You want to start with the reality. You're not an accident. You're a masterpiece. God created you for His purpose and pleasure. And just so you know, our memory verse for this week is Romans 12:6, which talks about serving. We all have different gifts. Each came because of the grace that God gave us. And I'll get to that in a moment because we're going to look at all five purposes. Now, don't get those confused. You have the six principles to share your faith, but there are five reasons God made us. We're going to look at those. We touched on them last week when I was speaking. We're going to go a little bit further into it. I can just remember over the years when we first started the church, Greg, myself, Shelley, and then we started Dare to Share about a year, year and a half later. I can remember traveling to different locations where it was just Greg and I. We were teaching youth pastors and pastors how to use this in their churches. We went to South Carolina. We're kind of on a two-week tour once. This is in the mid-90s, you know, around 97, actually. And we're in South Carolina. It had been a really busy 2 weeks. I said, man, we should take a break. Let's play golf. Greg, not really a golfer. He'll play. Not really a golfer. I'm not the greatest golfer, but I can play. So I said, hey, listen, Dare to Share, cover the trip. I'll cover the golf. So the youth pastor we were staying with, we were literally sleeping in his guest bedroom on the floor. And I said, where's the golf course? He said, listen, I can get you on the private course right down the road. It was like 58 degrees in February. I'm like, perfect. So we go, walk in. Guy asks us, you know, what do you need? Need clubs, need it all, get a cart, the whole deal. And so when they called our name and said, you two get to play together, there wasn't that many people that day. I guess that's a cold day in South Carolina. And it's a warm day in Colorado, right? And so we go out, and I walk out the door, and it is a custom golf cart. Like, look like a Rolls Royce. And on the back, it's got the nicest golf clubs I have ever seen. I'm like, Greg, we hit pay dirt, buddy. This is big. He's like, this is awesome. It had a window, had a fridge in the back. It was so good. So we hop on. We go out. We golf the first three holes. I had my drive was up on the left side of the fairway, and Greg hit his over in the rough. He couldn't find it, and I could see it. I was up a little bit higher. I go, Greg, you drove by it. So he jumps out, grabs his club, but leaves the cart. Goes back, winds up, hits the ball, gets probably his best contact of the day, right through the middle windshield. First question, do I have to pay for that? You're good. I think we're good. You know, they probably have insurance for that. So when we got to the ninth hole, which is the turn, I ran in. I go, hey, listen, man, our golf cart. He looks out there. He sees it. He goes, yeah. I go, we broke the window. He's like, so? I'm like, these guys are awesome. Went back out, we played, and Greg starts, he unzips his bag. It's just filled with balls. And normally you don't get that when you're renting golf clubs. So he just, every time he loses a ball, he just pulls one out of the bag and hits it, and we're just playing. And we get to the 17th hole, and he's like, I'm out of balls. I said, okay. He goes, throw me some. I'm like, unzip the pocket, and there's a wallet, keys, telephone. Yeah, you got it. You know what happened. I go, Greg. He goes, yeah. I go, we're golfing with somebody's private cart and clubs. He goes, I bet they didn't expect us to steal it and then play on the same course. So we finished. We parked the cart. We did what every mature pastor should do. We ran. We got out of there. But, you know, we were trying to teach guys about the good news, but we didn't have all our marbles, I guess. But I think about this. You know, when these pastors and some of these, all these teenagers and adults discovered, wait a second, God can use me to share my faith, it transformed their lives. I want you to understand something. And I know this. I mean, personally, I did not know who Samuel Langhorne Clemens was. But if you know anything about great writing, it was Mark Twain. And Mark Twain said this, the two most important days of your life are the day you were born and the day you figure out why you were born. And for all of us, we are finding out why we're on this planet. And I want you to know this. It is critical to understand this. We are not an accident. We're not a cosmic accident. We are a design of the great creator, the only God. And we need to embrace that reality before we can really understand this purpose. I was glancing at all kinds of material in preparation for this series about 6 months ago, and I ran across the great, you know, power of positive thinking coach, Tony Robbins. I don't know if you've ever seen him. I've seen him in a hotel. He is a massive man, 6'9", hands bigger than my fat head. I mean, he's big. And he kind of sells the whole, you know, self-help thing. So I thought I'd read his 12 steps to purpose. Oh, that's interesting. So I'm read a little bit of update on it, and then I come back to the 12 steps. And he said this, what is my purpose in life and how can I be happy? They're actually the same, and they have the same answer. You can never truly understand how to find your purpose by listening to others' opinions and seeking outside approval. Everything you need, listen close, is within you. The only thing holding you back is your own limiting beliefs. You develop greater self-awareness when you're in control of your emotions, you're in control of your life. Sadly, he's so close and yet so far away. The answer, contrary to what culture says, is not inside you. As a matter of fact, we are born depraved. The purpose of my life starts with God. And you're never going to discover the purpose of your life if you don't know God personally. If you've not come to know him through his son, Jesus Christ, who died for you and rose again, You see, so much of what Tony said, just like the world around us, is so close to the truth, but yet so far away. If your foundation is not God at the center, all you're going to find inside of you is emptiness. And you're going to try and fill that void with stuff and relationships and all kinds of things that will only make you temporarily happy. Look at Ephesians 1. It's in Christ that we find out who we are and what we are living for. Long before we first heard of Christ and got our hopes up, he had his eyes on us, had designs on us for glorious living. Part of the overall purpose he is working out in everything and everyone. I love that paraphrase. Now, here are the five purposes. I don't want to, you know, confuse you. Acrostics can be helpful, but I want you to also know that we remember the purposes here at Grace with our name, Grace. Last week I touched on it. Let's unpack it today. First, God planned you for his pleasure. God planned you for his pleasure. Somebody asked the question of a great theologian. I saw it on a podcast, or I heard it on a podcast, saw the video on YouTube, said, okay, you believe in God, who created God? Well, that's a faulty misperception. God was never created. God has always been and always will be. He is, to be very specific theologically, the only eternal being. We're everlasting if we know Jesus. We were created. We're all going to last forever somewhere. Look at Revelation 4:11. You are worthy, O Lord and God, to receive glory, honor, and power. Circle all three of those. Glory, honor, and power. For you created all things, and for your pleasure they were created and exist. It's not for my pleasure. It's for God's pleasure. We tend to put a secular perspective on pleasure. We think of pleasure, we think of sports, we think of activities outside, we think of sex, we think of things that are temporary moments, but they're not eternal purpose. God says, you were created for my pleasure, and everything you do, once you know Jesus is your Savior, brings him glory if it's done in his name. It's all about him. It's not about us. And let's not be mistaken as we go on this journey through good news that it's not about us. It's not even about my temporary happiness or yours. It's about God's eternal purpose. Look at Ephesians 1:4. Long before he laid down earth's foundations, he had us in mind, had settled on us, circle this, as the focus of his love, to be made whole and holy by his love. You are the focus of God's love. Think about that. Some of you are like, I can't even really embrace that because I've never known love. Everything that I've ever experienced in my life was conditional. It was conditional with my parents. It was conditional with my siblings. It was conditional with my coach or my teachers and my friends. But God says it is unconditional love. I love you unconditionally. Some of you are in the class Pastor Paul taught. You learned all day how God's love is the essence of 66 books, 39 specifically. God says, I love you, and I created you for my pleasure. I think of it this way. If you want to worship God, you have to know a word. I didn't put it in your outline. You might write it down. Surrender. Without surrender, Christian, you're not worshiping God. You're not glorifying God. You know, we don't like that word. Think about it. We don't like surrender. We like dominate, victory at all costs, you know, get one up on somebody, climb the corporate ladder and be above everybody. Our culture, by nature, doesn't like surrender. It seems to communicate what? Defeat. It doesn't. When you surrender to God, it's ultimate victory in your life. God says, surrender to me. So what do? Well, you can't surrender without obedience. Let me give you an example in the Bible. Peter, a disciple who would one day become an apostle, who would then one day become a martyr, which means he died as an apostle and he was crucified, and he said, don't crucify me right side up. Flip me over. I don't deserve to die the way my Savior died. That kind of man didn't come about the first moment Jesus called him. He was developed over time, But he had one quality demonstrated when Jesus called him. Jesus said this to Peter, "How's the fishing going?" Peter says, "Oh, Lord, we've fished all day and haven't caught a thing." Jesus said, "Throw the net on the other side." Do you remember Peter's response? He said, "We haven't caught any fish all day, but Lord, because you asked, I'll cast my nets on the other side." That's surrender. What is God asking from you? Is he asking you to step out of a job that's very secure? You've been there 25 years, and he's saying, "I want you to go somewhere else." Scary. God says, surrender to me because you were made to worship God. Second, you're formed for his family. God formed us for his family. At Grace, we use the word relate. We're here to relate with others, to build relationships with others. This second purpose is not optional. This isn't a great suggestion. God says, when you are born, you're born into my eternal family. Look at Ephesians 1:5. God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him what, guys? Circle it. Great pleasure. God got pleasure out of creating you and planning you for his family. How much do we appreciate being a family member of God? It's everything. You know, your eternal family is going to last a lot of your biological family. I hope not, but that is a reality in many lives. God says, you were formed for my family. And he said, this is how my family should treat each other. Look, treat everyone you meet with dignity. Love your spiritual family. Revere God. That's where we get our motto, love no matter what. We're not going to argue anybody into heaven. We're not going to politicize anybody into heaven. We are going to love people to the gospel, which saves them for heaven. And God says, this is what I want. Guys, that is amazing news. But let me say this. If the weekends are the only time that you interact with people that are in your church family, you're not getting to know your family. That's why we are doing this 50-day journey, so you get plugged into a small group. Last week, the kickoff, we added 27 more groups last weekend. Now, we have room for everybody looking for a group, but it is not too late to start a group tonight. Beth and the team will give you, guys, we have written the entire study guide. How many of you enjoyed the study last week? You guys enjoy the time, got together, you know, had a little game, got acquainted. This week we go a little bit deeper into this purpose. I've really enjoyed the daily devotions too. I hope you're listening, being encouraged, you're praying at 10 a.m. All of this builds us into a healthier family. How important is it? You need relationship. Not waving at people in a big crowd with lots of services, but interacting. I thought about this. The California Department of Mental Health did a study not too long ago and discovered if you isolate yourself from others and don't develop close friendships with a few good people, like a small group, so it's okay for me, you are three times more likely to die an early death. You're four times more likely to suffer emotional burnout. You're five times more likely to be clinically depressed, and you're 10 times more likely to get hospitalized for emotional and mental disorder. So your own mental health depends on it. Get into a small group. It's not a joke. It's absolutely going to make your life better. And one of the ways that God says, once you come to know my son as your personal savior, you put your trust in Jesus Christ, here's how you officially join the family of God. You get water baptized. We're going to do a celebration baptism December 4th and 5th. If you come to know Jesus here, or if you're within range and you can get here, we're going to baptize during all four services. If you have never been a part of Grace Baptisms, they are amazing. You do not want to miss that weekend. But if you've never been baptized, get baptized. You're part of God's family, and it is an outward expression of an inward transformation. Third purpose, you were created every day to wake up and know this. God created you to become like Christ. God's desire is to become like Christ. What does that mean? I mean, really, what does that mean? I mean, I'm not going to walk on water today. I'm not going to multiply fish and bread. I've tried. What does it mean? Look at Philippians 2:5. Can you read this out loud with me? Everybody read this out loud, whether you're watching or you're here. Here we go. In your lives, you must think and act like Christ Jesus. Circle think, circle act. So as I think, so will I act. I want to give you 9 qualities. This is a checklist. A checklist I had to go through last night, and I'll tell you why in a minute. Look at Galatians 5:22. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Guys, that's how you become like Jesus. Every day, we should measure our success by how we lived out those 9 qualities. Now, maybe you're sitting there going, dude, I can't do it. I am the most impatient person. You're looking at an impatient person. But you can do it through the power of the Holy Spirit living in you. These are the fruits of who? The Spirit. Last night, we had our grandbabies, all 5 of them, waiting for the 6th. Come on, Brooke, let's go. But we got 5. And so the 8 and 7-year-old girls that are 3 months apart, and then the 7 and 6-year-old boys that are about 6 months apart, and then Rain, who's 2 and a half, almost 3. And so we went to Chuck E. Cheese. It's kind of a staple. You got to go there. So we went to Chuck E. Cheese and went inside and got our cards, and they're all playing games, and we're putting Rain on the ride, and we ordered a big, you know, cheese pizza, and then Shelley and I got 2 little personal pizzas, and our personal pizzas came out right away. So I'm like, wow, that's great. Is the cheese pizza ready? Boys were starving. Girls were starving. And they're like, yeah, it's in the oven. Okay. So I'm walking around. Some of you have seen my Grace hat. I wear a Grace hat, and I'm walking around with the Grace hat on. Didn't remember I had the Grace hat on. And about 20 minutes goes by. I'm like, honey, do you see the pizza? And the boys are like, Tonka, I'm starving. I'm like, okay. So I go to the kitchen. Young lady comes out. Found out later it was her first night. Found out it was the manager's first night of promotion. And so she comes out, I go, hey, is that cheese pizza ready? She's like, it's going in the oven now. I'm like, you told me that 30 minutes ago. She's like, it is now, sir, I'm really sorry. Go over, try and get the kids to think about the games and do all that, but they're getting hungry. About another 20 minutes goes by. I walk to the kitchen. Now we're, you know, we're 45, 50, almost an hour into this. And I'm like, hey, anybody back there? Poor girl comes out again, sees me, I'm sure, worst nightmare. I'm like, where's the pizza? These kids are starving. She goes, this is the worst kitchen I've ever worked at. I'm like, okay, we won't tell anybody, but I really need that pizza. It's coming. Finally, 90 minutes later, I had to get the manager. I'm just upset. And I walk up, and I'm like, I need to talk to your manager. She goes back. I take my hat off. I'm like, oh, geeminy. So the manager comes out. I put it back on, and I said, gosh, these kids are hungry. She goes, I am so sorry. I go, yeah, we just need that pizza really bad. So out came somebody who hadn't been out with the pizza and took it and went over to the table, and the kids ate. And afterwards, she comes up to me and says, here's 1,500 tickets for being patient, which is for kids. They get all kinds of gifts, you know. So we go over to the counter, and that's when they tell me this is our first night, both of them. And I said, well, gosh, I'm sorry it was a rough night. Listen, I'm a pastor. I'll pray for you. And I was so thankful that I pulled my hat off my head. It was a reminder I needed. You know why? Because sometimes you don't feel like it. Sometimes you want to be impatient. Sometimes you don't show love. That's why we get together and do this, so we can remember to be like Jesus. Look at Romans 8:29. For from the very beginning, God decided that those who came to him, and all along he knew who would, should become like his son, so that his son would be the firstborn with many brothers. Do you know what verse precedes that? All things work together for good to those who love God. So how does everything work together? Is it good when a baby dies? No. Is it good when a loved one dies? Is it good when a friend gets sick with cancer? No. But he says all things work together for good because they're used to make us more like Jesus. Look at 2 Corinthians 3:18. And the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like him as we are changed into his glorious image. It is a process. But God says, I want that process every day. Yield to my Spirit and become more and more like his son. Now, the fourth purpose is God shaped me to serve him. At Grace, we use the letter C in grace, care. We are here to care for one another. In Psalm 139, verse 13, Message translation says, "Oh yes, you shaped me first inside, then out. You formed me in my mother's womb." Do you know why we're so passionate about children, about babies? Because every single one of them is created in the image of God, and they are formed for God's purpose. And he says, "I've shaped you for this purpose." About 14 plus years ago, a lady and her husband and four kids came to Grace, and impressive family. And in the process, we got to know Vicki Deasy, and God began to use her in a remarkable way. She's a pastor now of 301. She was our pastor of family care. Extraordinary woman with an amazing story. Would you welcome her to the stage? She's going to join me for a little bit. Thanks, Vicki.
Sure.
This is Vicki. That's my daughter, Brittany. Oh, and that's Rich. He's awesome, too. So come on out. Vicki, thank you. I know you love this. She begged me to be on stage, and I'm like, okay. No, she always resists, but I love hearing from you. And I was thinking, as we talked about this the last couple of months, I don't think you've ever shared from this perspective before.
I don't think I have either.
So I'm going to ask you, I'm going to sit back and be quiet for 30 seconds or so. And I just want you to share your story.
You know, as you shared, the purpose of our life starts with God. Mm-hmm. And I trusted in Christ at the age of 24, trusting Christ as my personal Savior, at a small church here in Colorado. And my life was transformed that day, and I became part of God's family. But I would spend the next 18 years struggling to really believe that he was rejoicing over me, that he took pleasure in his relationship with me, and that he really had a unique purpose for my life. I spent most of these years thinking I was disappointing God because I couldn't measure up to a standard and that he was simply tolerating me. Mm. I really believed that I couldn't serve him until I had arrived at least close to the standard and that the people around me were spiritual giants that had a purpose. God could use them, but I had a long way to go. Yeah. And it really was during this period of time that I realize now that my perspective was so skewed. And it kept me really inward focused, and it kept me from understanding my unique purpose on this earth. Yeah. After years of being part of this ministry, I thought, well, maybe, just maybe, I'm mature enough in my faith. I've walked a few years with Jesus that I could lead their children's ministry. And so I asked them if I could. And I really thought the only reason they let me do it is because they had nobody else to lead the children's ministry. And I never, ever felt adequate. But I really believe that all kids need to be embraced and nurtured in a really personal way and taught about Jesus in a level that they could understand, not sit through an adult service. Yeah. And during that time, I grew so much. Every time I prepared those Sunday school lessons, I prayed over those children and loved on them. Many years later, God would lead me to Grace, and I could write a book on what God has done in my life, how he has grown and changed me through this ministry. But if I had to describe it in two words, it would be purpose and freedom. Because, you see, my life was changed all those years ago on that Easter Sunday, but I still had not fully grasped the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. Yeah. I still was listening to this chatterbox in my head that God was constantly disappointed with me and that I had to earn his love somehow. I'd walk through these doors of Grace week after week when we were meeting over in the Lodge auditorium, and you would share the gospel. And I remember asking, I'm like, I wonder why he shares after every single service. Don't these people know it? And then I realized that I didn't fully understand the clear gospel of grace. And once I did, I was set free. I truly began to believe that God's love was unconditional. I should say I began to know that his love was unconditional, that his love for me wasn't based on anything I did or didn't do, and I began to believe that I was created for his pleasure and his purpose. It would be a few years later, as I continued to begin to embrace this, that that God would give me an opportunity to dig even deeper. And that was with my ex-husband. He would push me out of my comfort zone. I'm really thankful that I wasn't thankful then, but I'm really thankful now that he pushed me to join a small group. He pushed me to volunteer in a much larger children's ministry. I was completely intimidated, but I did it. And as I began that journey, it resonated more and more. I began truly to believe that I was here for a purpose. And one of our first studies in our small group was SHAPE, Discovering Our Shape for Ministry. And it has been a journey that God has had me on ever since, and an amazing adventure. From volunteering in children's ministry, God would eventually allow me the great privilege of joining this incredible staff in 2008 in their children's ministry. I would then serve in family ministries for many years. And then get this, as only God can do. In 2019, at the beginning of 2019, I was moved to be the pastor of the 301 of SHAPE, of helping people discover their purpose on this earth. The girl who thought she didn't have a purpose, now God is using to help people discover their unique purpose in this life. And what an incredible joy it is for me to take people on this journey. And I believe it's a lifelong journey. And here's why. Is that God created God? When we talk about SHAPE, we're referring to the five personal factors that make up the real you.
Yeah.
And as Pastor Rick shared throughout his message, that you were created with great love and intention. You're not an accident. And so we're going to take you through this SHAPE acrostic, and I hope that at some point it resonates with you as much as it does with me. But that S stands for spiritual gifts. And God gives every believer at least one, if not more, to be used to build up the body of Christ. That H stands for heart. God's given us a heart with a unique heartbeat that beats for different things, different people groups, different causes, different things we're passionate about. And that A stands for ability. Did you know most people have between 500 and 700 specific skills that you use at home, you use at school, you use in your workplace? And God wants to use those in ministry. And the P stands for personality. Yes, you're one of a kind, and God created you on purpose and me on purpose with our quirks and all, and he knows how to use them.
That's right.
And the E stands for experiences. As we walk this earth, we're going to walk through good experiences and painful ones, and God will use every one of them as we yield to him for us to help others and to comfort others and to fulfill his purposes. So the reason that discovering your shape is a lifelong journey is because you will continue to have experiences that shape you, that may change what your heart beats for. You'll continue to develop different abilities or hone the ones you have. So don't miss out, no matter how many years you've been walking this earth, don't miss out on beginning or continuing this journey, because it is an amazing adventure. And I don't say that flippantly. It truly is. We are tested. Yeah. It really is. Yeah. So you're probably sitting there, great, you've talked all about shape and the five factors that make up the real me. How do I go about discovering that? Well, we have two amazing opportunities. I'm so glad you asked. We have two amazing opportunities for you coming up. And the first one is our 301 class. You probably hear us talk about it a lot. It's one of our membership classes. It's Discovering Your Shape for Ministry. And this month, in a week, on a Sunday from 8 to 11, we are offering it to everybody. You don't have to have completed the first two classes. We hope you go back and complete those first two. But you don't have to. And myself, along with Greg Zinn, we teach that class. We're real passionate about helping people along this journey. So I hope you'll join us for that. And you can. We have service at 5 on Saturday. We have service at noon, so you won't miss out on anything. And then the second great way to discover your shape has always been, and we've believed, is test driving a ministry. And when you find your sweet spot for serving, guess what? No one's going to have to ask you to serve. You're going to be coming through the doors every chance you get. And so on November 6th and 7th, we're holding a ministry fair after each service where you'll be able to visit with ministry leaders. You'll be able to seek out opportunities that fit your shape. You'll be able, for this weekend only, to take a sneak peek of our volunteer VIP area. And we serve great food. You're going to meet great people. We thought it would be a great idea to serve food to everyone in the church downstairs. So you are invited. Don't know how it's going to work out, but we're going to give it a try. We love our volunteers, and we love serving each week together. And we really hope that you will join us for one or both of these events. You'll find more information in your bulletin how to do that.
Matt, what'd you think, Vicki? Thank you. That was amazing. Appreciate you. Wow. Every time the pastors come out, especially the female pastors, they say, oh, I'm really afraid to speak. And I'm like, you should go give lessons on how to communicate. That was amazing. You know, Vicki shared her heart. Something she didn't say specifically is that God will take our deepest hurt and turn it into our greatest ministry. That's what he does. He says, listen, I don't know how you've been hurt. Well, he does. We say, we don't know how you've been hurt. And he says, but I'll take that hurt and I'll turn it into a transformative tool to impact countless people who have been through just what you went through. Ephesians 2:10 says it this way. We have become his poetry, a recreated people that will fulfill the destiny he has given each of us. For we are joined to Jesus, the Anointed One. Even before we were born, God planned in advance our destiny and the good works we would do to fulfill it. Again, we read this verse and we'll continue to look at it. 1 Peter 4:10, God has given each of you some special abilities. Vicki said between 500 and 700. Be sure to use them to help each other, passing on to others God's many kinds of blessings. And can I add this just about your personality? You know, your personality, and she said with all of its quirks, we all have that. We're all unique. And when all of those personalities come together and actually live out the nine qualities of the fruits of the Spirit, all the puzzle pieces fit. We make up for each other. We could, you know, Jerry Maguire theology, we complete each other, literally, okay? And so the fourth purpose is that we were created to be like Christ and we were shaped to have a ministry. And when you understand, they go hand in hand. You know, I was reading that verse before I shared it with you a couple months ago, and I had just come back from writing a song with Pastor Jason and Pastor Jake Espy over at Red Rocks, and they'd asked me to help write a song about Jim, and I'll share that down the line, but it was the first time I've written a song in a lot of years. It was something I used to do, and not very well either. I was okay at it, but it was such an amazing time, just the three of us interacting, and both those guys are premier songwriters. And I was just there, you know, giving suggestions and some words here and there. But it was an amazing opportunity. And I love when artistic things come together the way they did. That's what happens when the body of Christ works and interacts. Some of you are the string section. Some of you are the percussion. Some of you are the guitars and the bass. And some of you are the background singer. All of them necessary to be a song of worship to God. And finally, the fifth purpose is God made me for a mission. And God made you for a mission. This is where some people go, oh, I'm not going to Africa. I'm not going to the jungle with you, Pastor. I've heard all the stories, all right? You know, I've personally taken about 365, 367 people to the Amazon in the last 25 years since we've been there. And I've had many say, oh, I'm not going. And then they come back and go, when can I go live there? You know, when it's not because they fell in love with 110 degrees and 100% humidity and bugs and snakes and spiders. They fell in love with the people and the mission of God. Guys, we were created for a mission. Look at this in John 17:18. Jesus said this, one of the most profound passages in the Bible. He said, in the same way that you gave me a mission in the world, I give them a mission in the world. Jesus could have completed God's mission. He was God in the flesh. He is God in the flesh, but he didn't. He said, I'm giving you the mission. Go and take the good news to the world that desperately needs it. Do you think our world desperately needs the good news? Can you not think of a dozen people in your primary circle that need Jesus? That's why we're doing this, so that we become a living epistle, a living letter of God's poetry. Look at Acts 20, 24. Paul says, I don't care about my own life. The most important thing is that I complete my mission. I want to finish the work that the Lord Jesus gave me to tell people the good news about God's grace. You know, it's interesting because when Jesus was 12, he went into the temple and he said to all of the religious leaders who were blown away because he knew more than all of them about the Holy Scriptures, well, he wrote them. But he said this, I am to be about my Father's business. That's what I'm here for. You know, it was 12 when I discovered, just like Vicky, not only did I come to know Jesus as my Savior a few years before, but I discovered that God wanted to use me for his mission. But I felt the same way she did. I wasn't good enough. All these people sort of looked a certain way, acted a certain way. I'm like, yeah, I'm not really like that. But then as you get older, you realize, oh, they're just faking. We're all broken. Nobody's perfect. And we need to be real and authentic. Guys, the unsatisfying life is looking good, feeling good, and having the goods. That's the unsatisfying life, all right? Bigger house, nicer car, more money. That does not make you better or happier. As a matter of fact, usually it just adds more headaches to your smaller problems. The satisfying life is Acts 1:8. Look here. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Pause there for a minute. This is something we need to say. And to everybody watching online, please pay attention to this. The moment you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, the moment you believe he died for you and rose again, and you say, God, I'm trusting in him as my only hope of salvation, you are filled with the Holy Spirit. And you're getting all the Holy Spirit you're ever going to get. Now, your challenge, just like mine, is yielding to the Holy Spirit every day, every moment of every day. He says, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere. In Jerusalem, circle that. Throughout Judea, circle Judea. In Samaria, circle Samaria. And to the ends of the earth. Now, there are people who oftentimes just take that literal. Well, I'm supposed to go to Jerusalem. We're supposed to just pray for Jerusalem. Listen, God commanded us to go to the entire world. So for us who are 10,000 miles away from the Fertile Crescent, he said, here's where you go. Jerusalem are the people who live right by you. They're the people in your neighborhood, the people you interact with, the people that are very similar to you. And then Judea are people that are like you, but they live on the other side of town. They live in different regions in your state. And Samaria are people different than us, who live on the other side of the tracks or the other whatever. And in those days, the Jews hated the Samaritans. They were racist and prejudiced. They were half-breeds, half Gentile, half Jew, and they looked down on them. What was happening to them is they were getting saved. They were coming to know Jesus as their Savior, and now they're like, you're supposed to love everybody, even your enemy. And then to the ends of the earth. That's people on the other side of the globe, people that you may never go to, but we have ways today where you can actually touch the lives of people that live 10,000 miles away. The best use of life is to spend it doing something that will outlast it. And what outlasts it is when I'm serving in my ministry and I'm serving my mission in the world. Now, let me close with this. One of the things that we do is we partner with Samaritan's Purse and Operation Christmas Child every year. Last year was a tough year, obviously, 2020, okay? And so we have re-upped that. Our pastor of Reach, Shelley, and her team are ready for you to pick up your Operation Christmas Child boxes. This is a way you can put a box together, send it to a child around the world who would not have a Christmas otherwise, and guess what they get with it? The gospel. You can reach the world today and never leave the comfort of your home. Now, I think everybody should have to go on a mission trip. If I could make it mandatory, I would. because it transforms you more than anybody you go to reach. But these are ways you can do it without going. Your mission gives your life meaning. Look at 2 Corinthians 5:15. One man died for everyone. That puts everyone in the same boat. He included everyone in his death so that everyone could also be included in his life, a resurrection life, a far better life than people ever lived on their own. Now, I don't want you to put things away because I want you to see this. In sharing your faith, the power of salvation is at your fingertips. It's coming out of your mouth when you share these essential components. And I'm going to show you an illustration that my wife, myself, Greg, some of the people I mentioned, some of the people in this ministry grew up learning. It's about 120 years old. Oftentimes it was called the hand gesture, but you can call it whatever you want. It's an example. And this is how I would walk up to somebody. You know, maybe you're in a taxi or you're on the plane. Hey, how are you? Mind if I set my stuff here? Yeah, no problem. All of a sudden you're in a conversation. For me, it's pretty easy to get to the gospel because they always say, what do you do? I'm like, well, not sure how you're going to react, but I'm a pastor. Oh, you should see the reactions, okay? But it always yields to a conversation about the gospel. And I will oftentimes use this to explain it. I'll say, can I just show you an example or illustration of how you know for sure you're going to heaven? Yeah, go ahead. Just take me a couple minutes. Let this hand represent you and me and everybody in the world. And let this hand represent Jesus Christ, God in the flesh. God loves you, but he hates your sin. Because my sin and your sin separate us from God. You see, God created you for his purpose and pleasure. God's plan from the very beginning was to shower us with his love, to have a personal relationship with us, but he gave us a choice, and man chose poorly, and our sins separated us from God. That means if we die in our sin, we'll spend eternity separated from God forever in hell. I know that's not good news. And actually, there's some more bad news. No matter what I do to cover this up, it will not take it away. Religion says, go to church, give your money, promise to be good, give up your bad habits, and then maybe you'll get to heaven. The Bible says our good works are like filthy rags. You see, sins cannot be erased by anything that we do. So God, in his infinite love and mercy and grace, sent his son Jesus into this world. 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ, after living a perfect life, willingly went to the cross and died for your sins and my sins and the sins of the world. He rose again 3 days later, and he said, everyone who trusts in me has everlasting life. And you know what's amazing? Life that's everlasting means he takes hold of us. He'll never lose us. We are saved from this moment on. You will be with him in heaven one day. Is that good news? And people will go, yeah. And I'll say, if that's good news, will you believe that Jesus Christ died for you? Yeah. Then if I talk to you a month from now and I say, do you know for sure where you're going when you die? What would you say? If they say, oh, I'd say, man, maybe, I go back through it. But most of the time they say, heaven. And I'm like, why? Because I put my trust in Jesus Christ. That is the good news of the gospel. The very first time I shared that, I was 12 years old in Buckingham Square Mall. Some of you are like, Buckingham? It doesn't exist. That's how old I am. And I walked up to a really old guy on a bench. He was like 45. And I was so clever. I said, sir, do you know what time it is? I had a watch on. He goes, it's 7:45. I still remember the time. I said, wow, all right, thank you. You know, since you gave me something, could I give you something? He's like, oh, okay. I said, if I could tell you for sure how you know you're going to heaven when you die, would that be good news? He goes, probably. Sat down, shared the gospel, got done. I said, does that make sense? He said, yeah. I go, would you believe that Jesus died for you and trust in him? He goes, I will. I said, can I pray with you right here in the mall? He said, go ahead. That was the very first time I ever shared my faith. And when I walked away, I was literally trembling. I was so excited. And I said, God, this is what I want to do with the rest of my life. I want to tell everybody the good news about you. But you know what? I can't tell everybody. Neither can you. We have to all do our part. If you have never received that free gift of salvation, trust in him right now. Can I have you bow your heads and close your eyes for a minute? Maybe you're here as I was sharing that, or maybe you're watching. Don't turn this broadcast off. I have something to share with you at the end. Maybe that made sense to you. And really, until this moment, you were a lot like Vicky. You thought you knew. You thought maybe you'd go to heaven, but you believed in Jesus, the historical, intellectual version. But tonight, you realize you have to trust in him wholly, him alone. Then right where you sit, just talk to God silently in your mind. You can say something like this: God, I admit it, I'm a sinner. And I admit I've done things wrong. But tonight, I believe that Jesus Christ died for me. And I trust in him alone to save me. Thank you, God. My friend, the Bible says you now have everlasting life. And you will go to heaven one day. And you're part of God's eternal family. And his spirit lives in you, and you have purpose. And over the next 40 days, 43 days, we're going to learn more about what that purpose means and how every single one of these elements we talked about transforms every area of your life. If that made sense, in a moment, I'm going to have you raise your hand and put it right back down. Just lets me know you got it. So if you're saying, tonight, I believe and I receive the free gift of salvation, would you just slip your hand up and put it right back down? God bless you. Just slip it up. Praise God. Thank you. Christians, my challenge is that you continue to pray for those who don't know Christ. For you who trusted in Jesus, I'm going to be in the foyer. I'd love to have you come up. I've got a Bible and some gifts for you. I want to give you a copy of my book and just encourage you. And if you're a guest, you've never been with us before, stop by. We'd love to welcome you to Grace. I'd love to see you. Father God, thank you for the free gift of salvation, Lord. Thank you for the gift of everlasting life and for these you've called into your kingdom. Lord God, we commit to knowing it, showing it, and sharing it. And Lord, may this be the most life-changing experience we have ever had in our entire lives. And God, may it transform every area of who we are. We love you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.